Den store nytårsfest starter i Bilka. Få for eksempel en fersk oksemørbrad på op til 1,5 kilo til 175. Kartedoris til en 20'er. Kims chips til en 10'er. Et stort drikkevaremarked med for eksempel Smirnoff Ice eller Mokai til en 5'er. Og en flaske Calvé Chablis til 89 kroner. Hvem kan? Bilka.
Marok Podcast tager dig med backstage.
Det er blevet onsdag, og det betyder et nyt afsnit af MyRock Podcast. Og i denne omgang, så tager vi en tur til Kentucky for at møde sydstatsrockerne i Blackstone Cherry. Et band, som snart søsætter deres syvende album, og som har en helt speciel dansk forbindelse. Du skal møde guitarist Ben Wells, og fra ham får du historien om tilblivelsen af albumet The Human Condition, om den danske forbindelse, om at være et sydstatsband i 2020, og om det lille skur, der danner rammen om Blackstone Cherry, langt ude på landet i Kentucky. Mit navn er Sten Skovgaard. Velkommen til. On the phone right now is guitarist in Blackstone Cherry, Ben Wells. Welcome to My Rock, Ben.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, glad having you, because on October 30th, your seventh album will be coming out. And what a year it has been so far. Ben, tell me, what have you been doing during the COVID-19 lockdown?
Well, we actually were in the at the first of the lockdown, we were in the studio finishing up the new album. And luckily we got it done before everything got really, really bad. And then for the next few weeks after that, we were listening to rough mixes and getting the album mixed. So there was still like some excitement happening with us, because it was, we had fresh new music recorded. We were getting it mixed and mastered, and it was all fun. And then after that, once we kind of figured out that the majority of our touring was going away, we kind of had to kind of regroup and say, okay, well, now what? You know, because we were excited. We thought we were going to be going on the road a lot this year and promoting the new record. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't do that. But we've been keeping ourselves busy. My wife and I run a nonprofit charity. So we've been able to keep ourselves busy with that. I also just started a clothing line this summer. So I've been keeping myself busy with that. But I really, at the end of the day, I cannot wait to get back on the bus with my brothers and go out and play some music.
But when you found out that things weren't going as planned with the album, with the touring, how did you feel? How did you react?
At first, it was sickening. Honestly, it was very sickening to watch. You know, we had some great tours lined up and some great shows, and a tour overseas was supposed to be in this October. And you know, when I first got the news, when we first were hearing shows were being canceled left and right, we kept holding out hope for future shows, and we said, well, maybe because it's May, maybe we can still do the ones in July and August and September and October. And then the next month would come by and they were canceling those shows. And then more and more. So honestly, we kind of became numb to it. And we kind of just had to face the fact and say, look, I don't think we're going to be playing any more shows this year, unfortunately. And that's a bizarre thing because we are so used to being gone and touring and playing. It was an adjustment, but we had a big conversation with ourselves and the management and label, and we said, we're not going to let this album suffer. We're not going to not put the album out. We're going to still release it in October. I believe that our fans and people, it will give them something to look forward to. So we're pushing on, and we're going to put the album out, even though we can't be out on the road supporting it, touring. That's not going to stop us from putting out new music that we're proud of, and hopefully early next year we can get back out there and start playing these songs live.
It'll definitely be a very special release for you, because this one will be one you will remember. What will you do to promote it, because you can't go out?
Well, right now I'm doing things like this, talking to you. I know we're all doing different phoners and some different video stuff. Of course, we have the music video that just came out that just, it went over tremendously well. It got so many views, and people are loving it and loving the new song. And we're just really going to try to do as much as we can with what we have to work with. You know, unfortunately, just by doing press interviews and doing some things online, that's really all we can do at this point in time. We are trying to plan something special for our release day to coincide with it. But right now it's just about promoting grassroots, you know, and anything, any other way we can promote without being on the road is what we're having to do right now.
In my book, Blackstone Cherry is pure Southern rock. And when I think of Southern rock, obvious names come to my mind, like Skinner, the Allman Brothers, the Black Crowes, and the list goes on. But when it comes to Blackstone Cherry, well, it's not your average Southern rock band. Can you tell me what makes you different from the rest?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That's some good company to be listed in. But I think for us, when we first started, we never really sat down and said, okay, we want to sound like this, or we are going to sound like this. It's just natural, you know. We are influenced by so many different styles of music, be it Southern rock, metal, reggae, of course, the blues, so many different types of music. And we just kind of put all of that together, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, we're a Southern band, and you can't wash that off of us, you know. I mean, that's just who we are. Even when we do stuff that's more on the harder rock side, it comes out sounding, you know, Southern, you know. But, you know, for us, we never said, well, we want to sound exactly like this, this, and this, and this. We said, we love all of these things, and let's just play the music that we want to play. So we might have a song that might be a heavy metal song, but it's still sounds pretty Southern because of you know, Chris's voice and the way we're playing it and the tones of our music. And that's just something I think will always be there with us. And I think that's what kind of separates us from the rest of the pack, maybe.
When it comes to inspiration, what artists, what genres have inspired you over time?
Well, my biggest inspiration of all time is Elvis Presley. He's my number one inspiration. Following that would be my favorite band is Aerosmith. I love Aerosmith. But we love so much different stuff. Of course, we all love Bob Marley. So it's like our iPods can go from, you know, Elvis to Skinner to Aerosmith to Bob Marley to Metallica to Pantera. It's really all over the place. And again, we take all of those different things and we try to, you know, we become inspired by those things. And instead of trying to copy verbatim another style, we just kind of morph it into our own thing, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, because this morning I sat and watched an old live recording of one of your shows. And what I saw was a mix-up of an old Jimi Hendrix tune, Manish Boy, and the Hoochie Coochie Man. So I was thinking,
we grew up playing the blues.
Yeah, is there something that you couldn't implement into Blackstone Cherry? Because I think that mix-up was kind of gutsy.
Well, thank you. Again, it's like when we're able to play live, we're able to kind of expand and do some of those things like that. Like we doing some blues stuff, throwing in a Hendrix thing, throwing in a Muddy Waters or a ZZ Top, or we even did a Beastie Boy. We did part of a Beastie Boy song one night, and it's just like, you know, that kind of stuff I think our fans like, and we like doing it, and it just goes to show that there's no real boundaries with us. You know, it's like it's good music, it's good music, and you know, there's no rules here. We're free to do what we want to do, and I think that's the beauty of it.
Now I'm moving into shaky ground, because Southern rock is, well, Southern rock, and for many bands, as one of those I've mentioned before, Lynyrd Skynyrd, a part of this is being the pride of being Southern, and by that flying the Confederate flag. And to many, that flag has a symbolic value that equals the tales of slavery and so on. And being in the times we are now, how would you feel that that Southern rock is a part of what is going on right now?
Well, I think Southern rock in general shouldn't be associated with, you know, what's going on in our world today. You know, everybody has their views and opinions on the reason certain things are happening, but Southern rock is a pure form of music, and just because it was, you know, based and curated in the southern part of America, doesn't mean it is directly affiliated with anything of hate or racism, because that is the farthest thing from what Blackstone Cherry is. You know, the absolute farthest thing, because we don't stand for any of that. So, the southern music, I don't think should be. It wouldn't be fair to put that in the same box as kind of what's going on, just because it's a pure form of music that is very relatable for most, and it sings about normal things, about being on the road and home and relationships, and it's just a pure form of music, you know. And some people might want to try to lump it in with what's going on, but I think there's different. You could do that with any genre, I guess, if you wanted to. But short answer is, just because it's from the South, it doesn't have any. To me, doesn't have any direct correlation whatsoever.
The reason why I'm asking is that, well, we've all seen Lynyrd Skynyrd back in the days. We've seen Tom Petty do it. We've seen Kid Rock do it. We've seen Ted Nugent do it. Have you, as a band, have you felt that people were against you because of the reputation that some might try to pull over Southern rock?
Honestly, I don't think so, just because we've made ourselves very transparent in what we stand for and what we believe in. And, we've never tried to associate ourselves with things that we don't believe in, you know. And so for us, we have always been, like I said, transparent, and been like, look, we love all people, all kinds, all backgrounds, all races and religions. And we've never shied away from saying that, because, who are we to judge anybody? So that we've always made ourselves that way. I don't think You know, thankfully for us, we haven't had any backlash whatsoever, because we just try to be good people to the best we can, you know, and treat everybody the same.
Let's get back to the new album being your seventh one, and the third since you've been moving to the Mascot label. How has this move influenced the band, if in any way?
Well, it's been a great thing for us because, you know, we love Mascot and we love the employees and their vision for music. And when we signed on with Mascot, we told them, look, we love the label, we love the roster, but we want to have creative control over our music. And they agreed. So for us, it's been extremely freeing because we don't have to, we're not forced to work with anybody we wouldn't want to work with, you know. And sometimes you might run into that in certain situations where a label might persuade you to work with a certain producer or certain songwriters or this. With us, we just wanted to do it ourselves. And if we chose to work with producers and songwriters, then we had that opportunity, but we're not going to be forced to do that. So it's been a great process for us, and they've let us do our thing, and they've let us put out the the two different blues EPs, and they've been so supportive. So it's been a great transition for us so far.
And how does the thing work out when doing a new Blackstone Cherry album? How do you work? Are you sitting by yourself writing and then you meet up at the studio, or how does thing work out?
Normally, we write, well, if we're on the road, we'll write together on the road, like in the back of the tour bus or something, and we'll come up with some ideas, and we'll kind of demo them out and see how they come about. And then a lot of times we would be just, you know, together, you know, in the studio. Some of the new songs on the album, like, for example, the song Again, was written in the studio, just sitting there in a room together. So we always write together, the four of us, and we always, everybody has a say and everybody has an input. And, you know, we might have a vocal idea or a guitar riff, and then we'll bring it to the table and say, hey, what do y'all think about this? And then if everybody likes it, we'll start on it. If not, we'll change it up or move on to something else. But at the end of the day, it's always the four of us together that are creating what we're doing, you know?
And you've been quite productive over the last couple of years. Four albums in 6 years. That's one album every 2 years, combined with extensive touring. So how do you actually get the time to do other stuff than music?
Well, normally that is our life, you know. I mean, you know, of course, we all have families and stuff, but I mean, this is what we do, and this is what we love doing. Is, you know, and we've kind of got on that schedule, you know, you put out an album every 2 years, you go and you tour and you take breaks every now and again, but that's just what we do. And that's how we make a living. And that's what we love to do. So it's just been a part of our lives since we were kids, since we started. It's just been, you know, music and Blackstone Cherry has just been, it's just like getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth. It's just something you do. So it's like, now it is kind of odd now adjusting to life without that. Well, not without it, but without, you know, the touring part of it. But, you know, that goes back to us still wanting to put an album out, you know, and saying, well, we're not going to sit on the album until we can go tour, because who knows when that's going to be. So people deserve the album. The album deserves to be out there. And we're going to keep on working any way we can. You know, we're not going to let anything stop us if we can avoid it, you know.
But taking the situation in the whole world into consideration, well, you have been forced to be at home for quite some time now. Have this made you think that, well, maybe we should cut down on touring or do something else?
No, it makes us want to go back to touring. Now, it makes us appreciate, if anything, it makes us really appreciate the opportunity that we had going out and playing music and feeling that emotion. And being around each other. I mean, we miss each other, you know. We miss the being on the bus with the band and the crew and playing for fans and talking to fans and meeting fans and the whole thing. And when that's taken away from you, you really kind of sit back and you appreciate it much more than maybe we did, you know. Not that we never didn't appreciate it, but once you don't have it, you really kind of understand what it means to you and how much you do miss it.
That's how we as music lovers feel, because we can't go to the shows. We miss it too. But
right.
the last time you were here in Denmark, you opened for Alice Cooper in Royal Arena. How was it to tour with a legend as Alice? Did he give you some tricks on how to survive in the business?
Alice Cooper is one of him, his wife, his entire band and crew was one of the classiest groups we've ever been on tour with. They were so cool. Alice is just literally one of the coolest people on the planet, in my opinion. He took us out to dinner one night and told us stories and gave us tips and said, you know, just, you know, he gave us so much great insight on having a long career in music, you know, being able to adapt and evolve and to always give the fans what they want to hear. And you know, it's good to evolve, but at the end of the day, you know, you want to service your audience and give them what they want. And we took a lot from that, and I think that kind of transpired into the new album as well. And it was just an honor to be sharing the stage with him and his organization. I can't say enough good things about him.
Did he give you any warnings on what not to do?
No, I mean, I think I think probably, I mean, he talked a little bit about his past, you know, and how he didn't know if he would be around now if he had kept on doing maybe what he did in the early days, you know. But I think anybody that has lived through what he's lived through and being a rock icon like that, that has come out on the other side, can probably say the same thing. And so but us too, we don't get caught up in that kind of stuff either, you know, the drugs and all that kind of stuff like that. We're out there to have a great time for sure. But we're out there also to do a job and to play music and to take that music and play it in front of people. And that's what he does as well, you know.
The last thing I want to ask you is, I know that Blackstone Cherry has a Danish connection. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I'm trying to think maybe with our, well, hang on. I don't know. Which one are you talking about?
There's a guy called Martin Frank. He's a guitarist in Shotgun Revolution. At one point,
Shotgun Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we wrote that song with, we wrote a song with them called City of Fire. Really cool song, and they're a great band. Great band and great guys. They've actually opened up for us a few times in the past, and that's a fantastic band, and Martin's a great guy.
He said nothing but good things about you. But what he told me was that when he went to Kentucky to write City of Fire with you, he punched in the address in his GPS. And he said, well, it was so far out that the road wasn't even on the map.
He came down to our practice house, our rehearsal spot. It's literally in the middle of nowhere in the woods. And it has no address. And I think our drummer John Fred actually ended up having to meet him somewhere and take him down there because you couldn't describe, if for anybody that's never been there before, they would not know how to get there at all. So yeah, it's a kind of little farm shack, you know, in the middle of nowhere that we grew up in and practiced, and it's our little haven, if that makes sense.
He told me about the writing sessions that you actually sat in the same room and you had one acoustic guitar to share. Is that the normal way of a writing session in Blackstone Cherry?
Sometimes it depends on what kind of song we're writing or you know, because if you're writing with somebody else too, like when the four of us write in Blackstone Cherry, you know, we're writing with each other for our band. So we're usually, you know, we can have the amps and the drums and everything going at one time. And we're just kind of jamming. If you're writing with somebody else, it's easier to strip that down a little bit and, you know, because they might not understand our style of writing. So it's easier to kind of strip that back. And that way it's easier to communicate with everybody that's in the room writing together versus just, you know, loud drums and guitars all the time.
So it's more demanding for you to write with a guy that you don't know?
To a degree, yes. I mean, look, you know, writing with some people you have writing sessions with and you hit it off and it's great and everybody's on the same level and everybody's feeling it. But sometimes, you know, you'll get somebody that might not, you know, understand our flow of writing. So you have to kind of respect that and appreciate that and vice versa. You always want to be respectful of who you're writing with and not totally take over, but also, you know, everybody's working together for the same goal, which is to, you know, come up with a great song at the end of the day.
And now City of Fire ended up being a Shotgun Revolution song. Well, could it have been a Blackstone Cherry song as well?
I mean, it could have been. It definitely sounds like it could be a Blackstone Cherry song. But when we were writing it, we knew we had in mind that we were writing it for them, you know. But it's always going to have our stamp on it if we're all involved, you know, be it the riffs and melodies and stuff like that. But it came out great. I think they did a great job.
Is it harder to give away a song like that?
Sometimes, because sometimes if you know you're writing for another band and it's something really, really good, you're like, oh man, we should have kept that for us. But at the end of the day, regardless of who we're writing for, whether it be us or another band, you always want to put everything you got into it. You know, you never want to say, well, I'll do 50% on this song just because I don't want to give it away. You know, you always want to write the best you can. And wherever it ends up is wherever it ends up.
And now you've got your own new seventh album coming out in a little bit over a month at the end of October. What does the future look like for Blackstone Cherry right now?
Right now, it's just we're just pumping up the promotion for the new album, trying to plan a cool event on release day, which I can't say much about. But we're trying to plan something, and then looking into next year and trying to plan ahead as much as we can for getting back on the road, and hopefully the touring will open back up safely. And that's just kind of what we're doing, is putting a lot of attention on the new album and also trying to plan ahead for touring next year.
Well, best of luck to you guys. And Ben, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we will get back to Denmark and see you all soon.
My Rock Podcast.
Disse var ordene fra Blackstone Cherrys guitarist Ben Wells, som sammen med resten af bandet er klar med The Human Condition den 30. oktober. Og indtil da kan du høre bandets første single Again på My Rock. Sangen hørte du i øvrigt også som en del af interviewet her. Jeg hedder Sten Skovgaard. Tak fordi du lyttede med.
My Rock. My Rock. Podcast.